Our guest today is chairman of the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. He and the RTA board oversee the nation's second largest public transportation system, which serves more than 8 million residents in Cook, DuPage, Kane, Lake, McHenry, and Will counties. Our guest today earned his bachelor's degree from Western Illinois University. He earned his law degree from DePaul University. And he's so smart that he brought his wife, Stephanie, to be with us today. Let's give Stephanie a City Club of Chicago welcome. Thank you. So I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's Thanksgiving. But here's a story that about 10 or 12 years ago, there was a fellow in Chicago, a great writer, who died unexpectedly and suddenly, shall we say. And I got a call from a fellow who said, I know he has two children, and I want to make sure one goes to college, because that was the one who was of college age. And it was Kirk Dillard. Ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Dillard. Welcome. Thank you for helping that wonderful young lady.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming out today. Father Holschneider, thank you. Welcome back from Rome. When it was rumored that I was maybe going to become the chairman of the RTA, one of the first people that said, do it, was Father Holschneider, who said, the RTA and the L are the lifeblood of both my Lincoln Park and downtown campus. And Father Holschneider, whenever he gets asked, does the president of DePaul University have a driver, he says, yes, whoever is at the helm of the red line or the brown line that day is the driver for the president of DePaul University. Thank you, Dennis, for the lovely invocation and being here today. Want to start by just thanking Leanne Redden and the great staff of the RTA. You don't do one of these speeches as my friend Bob Shorstrom, the chairman of the Tollway, will tell you, without the staff, nothing gets done. And I have the greatest staff at the RTA, and they make my job so easy and so pleasant every day. My fellow board members, what a board we have at the RTA. It's a diverse board of business and civic and labor leaders. John Friga, Bill Colson, Chris Melvin, Don DeWitt, Blake Hobson, Phil Fuentes, and Michael Lewis. I think you're all here, but my board every day. Is phenomenal for the 8 million people who live in our region and the taxpayers. It's great to see Jim Riley, who used to be the chairman of the RTA, one of the great predecessors back here, and John Gates, who is a longtime City Club member. And I especially want to thank, I'm so lucky to have elected officials, my appointing authorities. Mayor Emanuel, I couldn't have a better mayor for purposes of mass transit than Mayor Emanuel. President Preckwinkle, Larry Walsh, Chris Lausen, thank you two for being here, the chairman of Will County Executive Chairman of Kane County, and in my own Dan Cronin and DuPage, Aaron Lawler and Lake, don't want to leave anybody out, but the county chairwoman or president of Cook County, Tony Preckwinkle, they all make my job a lot easier because they care about mass transit day in and day out. Mary Sue Barrett's here from the Metropolitan Plan Commission, and so is Joe Zabel, the head of CMAP. The transit community is a large community, and we all work together very, very, very well. Chairman Kwasniewski from PACE, Rocky Donahue, the executive director, T.J. Ross, and director and city commissioner Karen Tamale, Mayor Clare, Director Canning, Mayor Marcucci, the former mayor of Elmhurst, as well as Rocky Donahue from PACE's board are here today. And then Don Orsino, I think you're here. He's a frequent speaker. Don Orsino, the executive director of Metra, long before Don arrived on the scene at Metra, I always thought Metra should have a real railroader at its helm. And Don, you have just done a spectacular job with your staff at Metra and really turned that place around, and it's a lifeblood for especially we suburbanites. So thank you very much. And then last but not least, I want to thank my wife, Stephanie, for being here, who may no longer live right by the Wilson Avenue L stop when I first met her. But, honey, you may be gone, but we're redoing the Wilson Avenue L stop, finally, where I was scared to come and see you. So it's a lot better. And then last but not least, the collaboration between CTA, Dorval Carter, Metra in Pace, I think, and Commissioner Snyder's here, former Secretary of Transportation. We work together as well as I think ever in the history of the systems, that just makes ridership go a lot easier for our riders. Before I begin today, I want to acknowledge that this is the first time I've spoken to the club without my friend and mentor and conscience sometimes, Paul Green. Paul Green, Professor Green, would want me to all remind you today that it was President Ronald Reagan, a Republican, who first had the federal government get involved and support mass transit. So, Professor Green, in your memory, my friend, I will remind people that it was that Republican president, Ronald Reagan, and I may have to do it a lot after the inauguration, that it was a Republican president who said mass transit's important to the federal government. This has been a surprising year. We call it the year of the unexpected. Where do I begin? Mayor Claire clearly picked Donald Trump as the next president of the United States. I'm not sure many in this room probably thought the same as Mayor Claire. And I know Jay Doherty, you know, the reason that it's now going to be President Trump is that the road to the White House comes through the City Club of Chicago. Donald Trump was here. Mike Pence was here. Rence Priebus was here. Speaker Paul Ryan was here. And then our own beloved Barack Obama spoke here. So the road to the White House comes through the City Club of Chicago, Jay. And who would have ever thought, although it might have been unexpected to some of you, but I believe when you have the best front office, the best business plan, the best manager, and the best team on the field, it shouldn't come as any surprise. And my friend Mark White from White Engineering knows that from day one, I said the Cubs are going to win the World Series this year. So it was a year of some of the unexpected, but it's been an interesting one. Seriously, though, the Donald Trump presidency. We're cautiously optimistic at the RTA and throughout mass transit in the country that the president-elect will have a major infrastructure plan that includes us. He's from New York City. That's a plus for those of us who care about mass transit. He clearly understands the importance of moving millions of people a day. And in his victory speech, he said, quote, "We're going to fix our inner cities, rebuild our highways, bridges, tunnels, airports, schools, and hospitals." And then last week, the Trump folks added mass transit and railroads to the Trump one-paragraph infrastructure plan, which is good. Now, the devil is always in the details, and we'll find out what his infrastructure plans contain. But we know that mass transit's going to be a component part of that. And as new proposals come out of his administration, I think this might be an unexpected opportunity for us. I believe that he knows, that the president knows, that mass transit's vital to our inner cities and to our economy. It's also important to remember that Congress a year ago did pass a five-year, $305 billion surface transportation plan, and I couldn't have a better congressional delegation, bipartisan, than I do from Illinois. They help us day in and day out. So this law is going to fund surface transportation through 2020. So there's a FAST Act floor that will provide at least inflationary or a little bit above inflationary monies for mass transit, and that's a good thing. Next, so what did the election tell us for those of us who care about mass transit? We know that transportation and mass transit's important to the people of this country. 48 communities, countries, or states had a referendum on the ballot on that Tuesday, November 8th. $200 billion of potential funding. And of those, 33% or 69% of all referendum nationally passed. A Wall Street Journal article last week said that President-elect Trump is promising a, quote, infrastructure boon. And the article highlighted that San Francisco, a major competitor for jobs for our young people from Chicago, passed a huge, as the president would say, a huge, huge issuance of $3.5 billion in bonds for BART, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit System. And I think any of us who have millennial children know that the millennials are the lifeblood. They're half of Chicagoland's workforce, all much. And if we want our kids to stay here in the Midwest, mass transit's in those millennials' bloodstreams. They're very different, as you heard me talk a year ago, than my generation. And so what did some of the other ballot issues say? Let's look at our economic competitors. We looked at San Francisco, which was one of the top two cities where our U of I graduates or DePaul graduates, Father Holzschneider, moved. San Francisco did their billion-dollar bond increase last week. Los Angeles, they approved $120 billion over 40 years for surface transportation improvements, and they had another half-cent sales tax increase in 2008. And 35% of all that new money would go to new transit projects. Red states, you know, my Republican conservative fellow red states. North Carolina, they passed a half a cent sales tax increase that will provide $2.3 billion for mass transit. Charleston County, South Carolina, passed a measure that will provide $2 billion in funding for 25 years by increasing their sales tax by a half a percent. And $700 million of that are going to go to new mass transit projects. Conservative Utah, if you go to Salt Lake City, see what they have for mass transit. And Dallas, a major competitor, the state of Texas, now has a viable transportation. You can take a train to and from the central business core to the airport in Dallas. And Dallas is putting on a whole new set of streetcars. The city of Atlanta passed a half a percent sales tax through 2057 for what's called the MARTA system, which is their mass transit system. So if we're going to move forward as Chicago or in Illinois, we've got to continue to invest in mass transit to attract the kind of workers we want here. We've got to invest. We need to change our focus, which has been the focus for too long around here, about when we have money, maybe we can put something into mass transit. And you got to turn it around so that you need to understand you constantly have to invest in mass transit because it is a private sector money generator for the state of Illinois. And we need to change our mindset. The gas tax. Remember that the United States federal gas tax has been stuck at 18 cents since 1993. Without inflation, it would be about 31 cents a day or 31 cents a gallon if we adjusted it. So the federal gas tax has 40% of the buying power it had in 1993. And in terms of our state gasoline tax in Illinois, we haven't exactly moved at the speed of light either. The Illinois gas tax has been stuck at 19 cents on a gallon since 1990. If the motor fuel tax in Illinois had kept up with inflation, we'd be at 35 cents a gallon now. And remember, it's a flat tax. As gas prices go up, we don't get any more money in the Treasury for the gas tax. And even conservative states headed by a governor named Ricketts, and we do know that name, as well as little old Iowa, our conservative state to the west, just increased its gas tax by a dime. The day after the election, I was watching the Today Show, trying to see what our country was going to be like, and they had on the legendary Tom Brokaw. And Mr. Brokaw said, quote, "The way to have cooperation and to start with cooperation between the Trump administration and the Congress is to do an infrastructure bill that includes a dime addition to the federal gas tax, because business and labor, Republicans and Democrats, all believe that our infrastructure in this country is crumpling. And Tom Brokaw said the first thing the Congress ought to do with Donald Trump to show cooperation is to pass an infrastructure bill. The National Manufacturers Association is for a 15 cent a gallon gas tax at the federal level. So other states are finding ways to find dollars for mass transit, and Illinois needs to start thinking about this too. Our mass transit system is important to our region. We move over 2 million riders a day. Let's just say that November 4th wasn't an unusual day. We also had to move right around that time, probably about 4 million people to a parade for the Chicago Cubs. And if you believe Fox News, that Chicago Cubs rally, whether there were 3 million people or 5 million people there, was the largest gathering of human beings in North American history. You know, many of you here helped us move probably 3 to 4 million people safely on that day. Our mass transit system is part of the lifeblood, and we've got to take care of it. I hope lawmakers and some of my colleagues, I saw Representative Conley, I see some other members of the General Assembly here, you know, I hope our message gets to Springfield, because it's been 6 years since they have passed a capital bill down in Springfield. We have no capital money for mass transit coming from Springfield, while all our competing economic states are investing billions of dollars. On October 8th, our citizens of this state, they got it. They understand when you fill your car up with gas or you buy a license plate, it ought to be used as a user fee for infrastructure, and they passed the lockbox amendment to the Illinois Constitution overwhelmingly. And that amendment is important as a first step, but it provides no new money for mass transit and no new money for projects like extending the Red Line farther south. So we still have a lot to do with respect to funding our system. We have a strategic plan at the RTA. We spend money wisely, and we plan on how we spend it so that we get a maximum return on investment. Some of the most important work that our board does at the RTA with our staff is plan. And we are doing that in conjunction with the CTA, PACE, and METRA, the Metropolitan Plan Commission, and CMAP. We have four major goals. The first one is kind of goes along with this unexpected theme, but 28% of our fleet, unexpectedly to some, is over its useful life. I mean, that's a quarter of our fleet is not even supposed to be out there. And we hold it together very well. It's safe, but it costs a lot of money. And it's like the Fram oil filter commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me a lot more later. But 28% of our fleet shouldn't even be on the road. We have a capital backlog of billions of dollars. Last time I was here, I told you we have a state of good repair need of $20 billion. And I already mentioned that the state hasn't put in, anything in for infrastructure for about 6 years. Ridership, it's falling slightly, and we watch it very, very carefully. It peaked in 2012, and there was a 3% decline in our ridership in 2016, most of it on buses. But we still provide over 600 to 700 million rides a year. So why is ridership down? And it's down mostly on buses. Low gas prices is probably the biggest reason. When gas prices are down, we have fewer riders, and that's a challenge for us, and we'll get on to that. Also, I think we cannot overlook the fact that there are still 32,500 fewer people working. Most of them are blue-collar jobs than there were in 2000 in the state of Illinois. If we put those 32,000 people on the buses, our ridership numbers will be different. And there's still more than 360,000 people in Illinois that are unemployed in this state. So we got to put people back to work, and that will improve our ridership numbers. Bus on shoulder and the loop link. in terms of what we're doing to fill those bus seats again. Both PACE and CTA are working hard to address the needs of our riders. PACE is expanding its bus-on-shoulder service, which has grown tremendously. If you ever take the Stevenson Expressway, it's amazing to watch the bus-on-shoulders. CTA, LoopLink, running right down Washington, Madison Streets, they're doing the same to try to create, and they have created, bus-only lanes through the Central Business District. In 2014, it's been warm weather lately. We had brutal, brutal winter weather, and that's some of the factor that's there. And then we had fare increases, at least on Metra, which was a much-needed thing to improve a rail system that has cars that were delivered, a lot of them, as Don Orsino will tell you, when Eisenhower was the president of the United States, and they're still running out there. We've also had a new resurgence or a new thing, which is Lyft and Uber and Divvy Bikes and Zipcars, and Innova is here from DuPage County. But the ride-sharing system has also had an impact, at least on bus ridership. So our first goal in the strategic plan is related to transit service, and we look at this very, very seriously. Looking back over the last 10 years, the number of trips we all take on mass transit actually is trending upward. It peaked in 2012, but we're taking more trips as a society here in northeastern Illinois on mass transit than we did 10 years ago. Rail ridership, Metra had its second highest ridership a year ago, and the L is at its all-time capacity. So again, it's bus that is our problem child out there, and it's not atypical. Every other system in America has seen a decline in bus ridership, and we're not as bad as most. Overall, when you look at how often we take mass transit in Chicago, we're fourth in the nation in terms of the number of trips we all take per year. And we're always looking to attract more riders. The CTA, I don't think I have to tell anybody in here, under Mayor Emanuel's leadership, they're pouring incredible record amounts of money into modernizing the elevated system. The red-purple modernization, affectionately known as the RPM system, has over $2 billion of infrastructure that's being used right now to improve the busiest corridor on the L system. Metra. Metra just had and will have about inflationary increases for fares, but they're doing an $80 million investment program. This year they're going to rehabilitate 18 locomotives, 43 new rail cars, and they're going to set aside a portion to buy another 21 cars that were headed to Virginia. We're going to buy new rail cars that were once headed for Virginia. But until the state passes a capital bill, Don Orsino can't have the monies he needs to improve and buy the new kinds of rail cars. And then PACE. This is pretty neat. On December 19th, they're going to announce, very much like they do on Bus on Shoulder on the Stevenson, they're going to do through I-90 in the northwest suburbs, they're going to do the kinds of rides that we provide out there, and there's going to be a newly renovated and it's beautiful Rosemont Transit Center, and the passengers there at that Rosemont Center transfer to other PACE and other and the CTA Blue Line, and they're going to operate and announce 40-foot new buses are going to operate the systems with Wi-Fis and USB charging ports, and then with Bob Schillerstrom's help and the tollways help, they're going to use a new flex lane on the tollways. So PACE is doing some innovative things to improve and increase its ridership. Over the past decade, one of the areas that really puts pressure on us is something called the ADA paratransit service. That is, for people with disabilities, we have doubled the number of ADA paratransit rides in the last 10 years, and it's growing, immensely. It is the one ironic area that the state of Illinois actually cut our budget. We do have some operating money, very little from the state, but they cut back that program by 55%. And I don't want to give you a lecture on state finance, but the state can cut that money. But we at the RTA, under federal law and under federal court order, are required to provide that service. So Springfield may not have to spend that money for the doubling of the riders, but somebody in this region is going to have to pay for it. You just can't cut out the program because we're under a federal mandate to do it. The second major goal, and it's one that I look at very, very seriously, is the financial viability of our system and our strategic plan. And if you don't take anything out of here today, other than we need a capital bill from Springfield, we at the RTA are so proud of the fact that we have the lowest cost per mile operating of any mass transit system in America. So no matter what you want to say about us, we run our trains and our buses with the help of 15,000 great employees at a lower cost per mile than any major mass transit system in America. And I will also say that due to the leadership of Jim Riley, my predecessor, our pension plan is fully solvent. We have a new pension plan at the CTA under Mr. Riley and his predecessors at the CTA. And then very importantly and very proudly, and it helps us provide better service because we borrow at a very low interest rate, the RTA has a AA-plus credit rating, a near-perfect credit rating with Wall Street, and I and my board aim to keep it that way. So financial viability is big for us. Got to have a state capital plan, as I said. Another big thing that we look at, and it's very important, is we try to be prosperous and green. We move lots of people, and we save lots of emissions that are out there. Also, even if you don't take the RTA, CTA, PACE, whatever, you save over $400 a year in the own operations of your vehicles because you don't spend as much time burning gas, idling in traffic. And if you own property in this region, all our property values are up because of the investment that's made in the CTA, PACE, and Metra. Lyft, Uber, all of these ride-sharing things that I've been talking to you about. The more people in a recent survey use Uber and Lyft and those alternatives that are out there, the more likely they are to rely on mass transit. So these shared modes of mobility are our friends in the mass transit industry. We're always looking to figure out how to get people the last mile or two, and whether it's a Divvy bike or an Uber, that helps us move people to their final destination, and we view them as their friends. And then last but not least, I always love to tell people, and we look at tax rates in the metropolitan Chicago area in Illinois, but because of mass transit, if you don't have a second car or you take mass transit, you save over $12,000 a year. Other areas of this country can't say that. Mass transit can save you $12,000 per year, and that ought to be folded in to the cost of living when we're looking at the cost of living in Illinois, in northeastern Illinois. The last thing is we advocate. I'm up here today advocating for mass transit. We try to make mass transit an educated decision for our riders. When you compare our investment in capital, we have a lot to do. I will tell you that New York City spends three times more per person per capita on mass transit than we do. And I always hear people say, wow, why can't we have a system like London? Well, let me tell you, London spends nine times more money per capita than we do on mass transit. And they have about a $10 petrol per gallon rate. They charge a fee to go into central London. And if you want to give me or my board those kinds of things, we'll have a mass transit system. We can take that L on the blue line all the way, like the commissioner has been here, all the way out to O'Hare. But we try to do things on a funding basis that, we live within our means. Let's put it that way. But we spend far less per capita in investment on mass transit than most other places of the city. Let me say we know that from the Green Line and others that our system's incredible to economic growth. It attracts and keeps millennial workers here, and businesses want to come here. There are more people living and working in the central business area of Chicago than ever before, and contrary to what you might read in the Wall Street Journal, 42 new companies relocated their headquarters to Chicago. And mass transit is one of those reasons that people relocate here. For every dollar invested in mass transit, there's a 4-to-1 return in private sector dollars, and every $1 billion invested in mass transit creates over 50,000 jobs. After the Morgan Street Station on the Green Line and Pink Lines was opened in the West Loop, the number of businesses licensed in that area jumped immediately by about 15%. And this isn't just a system that cost taxpayers and riders billions of dollars a year. Our system generates billions, tens of billions of dollars a year for the city, state, and region. The Brown Line, what an incredible success story. 62% of everybody that works in downtown in the central business area takes mass transit to work. When the Brown Line was reconstructed, its ridership went up almost by 50%. But every piece of property, and there's a couple of my aldermanic friends here today, every piece of property within a mile of the Brown Line went up 40% in value within a couple of years. The before and after shots of the businesses along Southport or any of our streets is astronomical, and we are a revenue producer of private sector dollars. Recently at a conference in Indianapolis held by the mayor of Indianapolis, it was said, and it's a quote I love to hear all the time, comes from Indianapolis folks of all cities, not necessarily the San Franciscos or Bostons or Seattles that I always think are our major competitors. I have great respect for Indianapolis, but it's not Chicago. But the mayor of Indianapolis at that conference was heard say that trying to attract and keep millennial workers in your cities without mass transit is like trying to sell them a phone without a camera. You've got to invest in mass transit, and even in places like Indianapolis, they're investing. Last but not least, the transit-oriented developments. We're in the city, but we work hard on transit-oriented developments in the suburbs as well. I can tell you, Tom Marcucci's here from Elmhurst, Mundelein, Oak Park, Orland Park. All recently, we've worked at the RTA with these communities. And if you look at places like Downers Grove and some of our quintessential older suburbs, you'll see Park Ridge, that transit-oriented development is how you revitalize some of these downtown areas. So, you know, it's a family affair, transit, in my family. I told the story how I used to ride the buses with my grandparents to go to the pediatrician on the north side. So back to the unexpected. I grew up on Magnolia Street, 3753 North Magnolia, right in the shadow of Wrigley Field. And my daughter Emma kind of caught that Cubs fever this year. And for those of you who know me, and many in this room know me and have known me for a long time, I am an eternal optimist. And, you know, recently a major newspaper in the city ran a piece saying, write in. Should I go or should I stay in Chicago in Illinois? And Susan Massal, my PR person, I probably woke her up early in the morning and said, Susan, I want to write an op-ed piece that says, among many, many reasons, my friend Rob Christie's over here from Northwestern Hospital and the mayor says it all the time, you know, Illinois has a third of all the teaching hospitals in the United States of America. And I can go on and on about reasons to be here and live here, DePaul University, another great reason, U of I, University of Chicago, Northwestern. But mass transit, as I told you, $12,000 a year savings if you use it, and it's a great way to get to and from work. And I believe that one of the major assets of the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois is our mass transit system. So, you know, how did Emma and I get to Wrigley Field? We went on the Red Line one day and the 22 Clark Street bus another day. There were 28,000 people on the World Series game days that got on and off at Addison. That's half of the crowd at Wrigley Field. So whether we're moving people to a ball game, moving them to work, or moving them to one of our great educational institutions, mass transit's part of the fabric of Chicago, and it's going to need to stay that way if we are economically going to move forward in the 21st century. Last but not least, our marketing campaign. Part of the advocacy that my board and I talk about and work with our service boards is to encourage people to ride it. And we've had a few ads and some public service announcements that actually we have the Emmys to show you if you come over and look at our glass case. But we have run an award-winning campaign, and I want to show you, if I can, just one of these ads.
Please insert more money. Please insert more money.
Really?
More money, more money, more money. Are you crying?
No.
So there's a message in there, like there's a couple of messages today, and that's that we need state lawmakers to pass a capital bill. We need to go educate the Trump administration and the Congress on the need for including mass transit in our federal bill. You know, if you don't need any more, paying $40 to park is another reason. So I want to thank everybody for having me here today. My wife Stephanie and I wish you a wonderful and safe, happy holiday season, and ride on. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirk Dillard, for that wonderful presentation. And Amanda here, she has the collecting blue slips if you have questions. I noticed that my old friend Kirk didn't talk about, what was it, about 25 years ago? Way back when. Kirk, myself, John Carpenter, who's out here, and Bill Olson, who's down in Springfield, we were at the National Conference of State Legislatures meetings in New Orleans, and we all ended up in a detention center together, what became a very famous cell. But Kirk managed to get us out. He was a man of great connections then, and he's doing a tremendous job now. So thank you, Kirk.
Thank you, Ed. Had to get you back to Myrna.
Absolutely. Okay, we have several questions here. One is from Terry Gabinski, former alderman, now with the Passion Construction Company. Terry, where are you?
Right there.
Great. What's happening with Union Station?
Right. Yeah. Hopefully great things, Alderman. When I was here last time, I talked about Union Station. Now that we have a viable purchaser of the old post office, you know, if you visit the old post office here over the Eisenhower and Union Station here, we have an RFI out, I believe, for some information on what we're going to do with Union Station. I will tell you that Steve Koch, Mayor Emanuel, Jim Riley's all over it, as is Mary Sue Barrett. We need to redo Union Station. And it does go hand in glove with the post office. So we're out there. Air rights is the key, Alderman. I mean, we've got to build up. There's a lot of money in them air rights, as they'd say in the prospecting days. But Union Station, if we are, and we are, Chicago is the transportation capital of the United States. I got to say that it sometimes is embarrassing to walk through Union Station. It's owned by Amtrak, and I don't want to – Amtrak's, you know, they're on it. They're trying to do the best they can. Amtrak's run out of Philadelphia, which the distance is a little bit of a problem for us. But the mayor's all over it. Metra's all over it. Don Orsino, you know, he runs a lot more trains through there, gazillions of more trains than Amtrak does every day. And we're making some improvements on Union Station, but it needs a complete overhaul. It's old, it's dated, and it needs to be a showpiece like Union Station in Washington. Or if you look at ads on Chicago TV for Denver, they feature their Union Station. And Philadelphia redid its Union Station. More people go through Union Station in Chicago every day than go through Midway Airport. So we are all over it. The mayor's all over it. Metra's all over it. And hopefully, Terry, soon we'll have a plan in conjunction with hopefully revitalizing the old post office that will revitalize that end of the loop. Last but not least, talk about leveraging private sector dollars through mass transit. The mayor's office has a study that shows that if you do Union Station right, It will lead to billions. It's between $4 and $7 billion of economic revival for the Near West Loop. That's private sector investment. So I ride through that station every day. And Terry, before they take me out in a wheelchair from the RTA chairmanship job, I hope to see a real vibrant, beautiful Union Station like the transportation capital of America, Chicago, deserves.
Thank you, Kirk. And for those of you who may not be aware, Union Station opened up in 1925 at a cost then of $75 million. So what Kirk is suggesting, and Terry, will be a real economic generator as well as a traffic convenience for people who use that. Okay, this is from, we've got some great questions here, by the way. Alderman Joe Moore, the 49th Ward. Given the increase in fuel-efficient automobiles and electric cars, the gas tax will become a less reliable funding source for roads and mass transit. What are some of your ideas for other revenue sources?
My wife and I walked by a Tesla dealership. Walked by. We didn't go in to buy. Walked by. But, Alderman, you know, if you drive a Tesla, you know, we're not getting any fuel revenue out of that car at all. We've just got to, and I'm not a lawmaker anymore, but we've got to figure out innovative ways. But the gas tax is, you know, and I'm not a lawmaker anymore. I'll take the money from whatever sources the lawmakers give it to me. But we've got to look for creative ways to pay for these kinds of projects. And the gas tax is just one of them. License plates are obviously out there, but I leave it up to my lawmaking buddies. I'm just making the plea that we have a $20 billion backlog of state of good repair here, and we need to figure out ways to finance these projects, although I do like the National Association of Manufacturers' plan to at least start with a federal gas tax increase, especially while prices are way low, while we can.
Thank you. This question is from Mike Weiser, who's affiliated with Commuter Cars. Mike, where are you? Way in the back there. Okay, working his way through traffic. Mr. Dillard, how will self-driving cars affect the public transportation in the Chicago area?
Just two thoughts on self-driving cars. I think every Innova is here. Roman's back there. Innova is an Italian Fiat, I believe, is where Roman buys his equipment. He puts these cars together in Burridge, Illinois, and his cars will be self-driving. But anything that helps us get people to mass transit or from mass transit over those last remaining miles is a plus. But self-driving cars don't unplug our roads. It's funny, Alderman Hopkins, my longtime friend, is over here. Brian and I were just talking about Ubers, and Ubers tend to plug up Michigan Avenue a little bit. Our friends in the taxi industry sort of know where to drop off passengers. Sometimes an Uber driver from Indiana doesn't quite know that you're not supposed to stop in the third lane on Michigan Avenue to let people in and out. So self-driving cars don't help congestion. They certainly, and we're going to partner with them to get people to use mass transit. And it's been proven through a study that people who use self-driving cars or Uber, Lyft, any of those, you know, they tend to take mass transit more. So they're a partner to ours, but you're not uncongesting roads. Last but not least, just something to think about. Don's over here, and this is only Metra. It's not Dorval's CTA, which is the most of our riders. If you didn't have Metra, you would need 39 more lanes on the Edens and Kennedy and Stevenson Expressway to move all of Don's riders every day. And that is, you know, unachievable. We don't have the physical space to do it, nor can we afford to do it. And one of the messages I always leave my downstate Illinois friends, without mass transit, we'd have to spend more on roads, bridges, and highways up here, which would leave them with less money for their transportation needs downstate.
Thank you, Kirk. And Roman, don't forget, he said that you're using Fiats. Remember, for many years they had that reputation. Fiat, fix it again, Tony. We have enough congestion without those cars. I apologize. Couldn't resist. This is from Tom Kotarek, who's with MAP, Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. Tom, where are you? over there? Great. There is talk of Washington investing up to $1 trillion in infrastructure next year. If that package is mostly loans and financing, would this be a challenge or an opportunity for mass transit in the region?
You know, as I said, the devil's in the detail. And, you know, Mr. Trump wants he wants tax credits. He's talking about moving some offshore kinds of credits back here. So we're going to have to see what it entails. But one of my plans is to work with New York and Philadelphia, the Bay Area, all the big cities, and to make sure that mass transit gets a component piece of whatever the transportation infrastructure plan is of the new administration and Congress. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But I like the fact that Mr. Trump knows what we've got a crumbling infrastructure in this country. And the case I need to make to both Donald Trump as well as Governor Rauner, both of whom are businessmen that gets it, is that mass transit returns on investment four private sector dollars for every dollar we put into it.
Thanks, Kirk. This is from my alderman, Alderman Brian Hopkins. Brian, about that pothole at the corner. No, I'm sorry. I know you are. Here's his question. If Metra's O'Hare Station was connected to the terminals by the People Mover, it would allow Metra Express service between downtown and O'Hare. Would RTA support this?
We are clearly, and not a day goes by when I don't see Mayor Emanuel that we talk about his desire, along with Ginger's, our aviation commissioner, to better move people in and out of O'Hare. And whether it's Metra or whether it's we do something innovative with the Blue Line, we're working on it. In fact, it's funny, I had a client from London in town recently who said, and this one hurt me, it hurt to the core, he said, I'll never view Chicago as a major international city until you can move people efficiently from O'Hare into your central core business district. The mayor gets that too. So, you know, whether it's Metra, whether it's going to be the CTA, we're working on a number of options with the CTA, with Mary Sue Barrett and Joe Sabo and our group. And, you know, clearly I mentioned Dallas just opened up its system to, you know, its Fort Worth Airport, which is gazillions of miles away from the Dallas downtown central business core. So we still have something going on them. But we need to be innovative. And whether it's using Metra or the CTA, we need to make it easier for people to access things at O'Hare by mass transit.
Thank you, Kirk. One last question here, unless our staff has some others. This is Clint Sabin. Would you support having the RTA plan reciprocate with others to attract top talent?
You know, I don't know exactly what that means, but we clearly, as you should get the gist, we are into collaboration, whether it's with the service boards, the city, my local appointing authorities, Chris Lowes and Larry Walsh, we are in a communicative mode. So if you have ways that you think you can help us, call Leanne Redden, my executive director, or reach out to us because we cooperate with anybody that walks in the door for the good of the 8 million people of the region and our 2 million riders a day.
Thanks, Kirk. We've talked about the president-elect. We've talked about the mayor of Chicago and all of the suburban mayors out here. Where does the governor of Illinois fit into this picture and the RTA's needs?
You know, I think he's clearly expressed a desire for an infrastructure bill. He's got to have an operating budget first. And, you know, I think he'll be fine. I think he's a businessman, and we'll show him our return on investment, and I think he will. You know, I think he will be there. The state just needs to get around to passing a real budget and then a capital bill. And I do tell, having once been in around that office and in the legislature, An infrastructure bill helps you pass your real operating budget. You know, some of my colleagues from the legislature are still here, but we don't always like to cut things. We like to actually show that we move things forward. And, you know, as Jim Riley will tell you, because he passed more infrastructure bills than anybody in the state's history, sometimes you need the capital bill or the infrastructure bill to get your real budget passed. The two do go hand in glove. And as I've said multiple times from this podium today, our economy, which Governor Rauner wants to drive forward and drive our unemployment rate down, our economy is very much affected by the effectiveness of our mass transit system. Other states get it, and I hope my colleagues in Illinois get it as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Kirk.